Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
And I want you here with Peter Cetera, Jackers of Chicago. Peter Cetera?
Chicago.
Well, that would be him singing, right?
Yeah, but he went solo. He did Glory of Love solo. Karate Kid Part 2, 86?
I don't know what year it was.
It's one of my favorites.
Karate Kid 2? Pat Reed?
No, this song.
You're the inspiration, Jack.
About Doug? You think it's about Doug?
I don't think it is.
Yeah, I could see that. It's Peter Cetera lived in Miami in the 80s.
A lot of people like the FS1 Doug.
But if he was with Chicago and he says, you're my inspiration, maybe it's about Ryan Sandberg.
Rhino.
Ryan
Say, the penguin.
Knows it, but he streams this show. So
Ron
I'm
Say
think,
does.
No, Peter Cetera.
I don't believe he does at all.
I think it might be you.
I think You're the Inspiration was before Glory of Love, because when he went solo, I don't think he came back. And when Chicago went into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, it was noticeable that Peter Cetera did not join them.
Is that bitter? Or they threw him out?
I don't know.
How could they have a falling out?
I don't.
He's the only one that people knew from the band, wasn't he?
I don't.
Well, don't get that frustrated.
What happens with bands, you know, egos get into it. It's like when you're big, famous, and wealthy, you know, you're going to bruise someone's feelings. It's like this show, you know? We're making big money, beloved.
When we go into the Hall of Fame, one
Tim
of us might not
Tim
show up.
Tim won't be there.
Okay.
Right. I'm going to do a solo project.
Is there a Radio Hall of Fame?
In Tim's dad's basement.
Right.
Oh.
In South City.
Every exhibit is Tim.
Yep. Tim is the only one in it.
At this moment. But I'm trying to get my dad to let you guys in. At least I'm saying that publicly.
I don't think it'll happen. So your dad holds a Radio Hall of Fame in the basement with one member and one member only, and that would be you.
I heard it's well done.
Yeah, it's very well done.
A couple of statues of Tim.
Yep, life-size.
Original
too.
Headphones he used at 590 The Fan.
No fooling.
Hard to Say I'm Sorry has to be better, Plowsy. That's from Iggy's Crusty Tube Sock.
I don't use tube socks.
You don't use them?
Doug, Brian Curtis of The Ringer is joining us now on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Good morning, Brian.
Morning, boys. How are you doing?
Very good. Thank you so much for joining us. What did you think of the news out of ESPN yesterday with John Skipper?
That it was the horrible end to a horrible year for that particular organization. I was just kind of looking over my ESPN timeline, and I think at this point it's easy to forget that Chris Berman, ESPN's first and brightest star, retired in January. That was like 5 million news cycles ago about that network, you know? And, you know, since then we've had the two big layoffs over there. Last week we had some sexual harassment allegations. Of course, the cord-cutting story, which they're dealing with. You had the president of the United States putting ESPN on his enemies list halfway through the year or at the end of the year. And now you have the guy who was steering ESPN through all this chaos and trying to figure out what ESPN is going to be now and in the future, suddenly and surprisingly, shockingly steps away. Just incredible.
Is that chaos due to anything that he did? Does he bear some of the responsibility for that?
I think, you know, the whole story of people cutting the cord and not paying cable fees like they used to is a giant problem that is a lot bigger than John Skipper and probably bigger than any of us, and everybody's trying to figure out a solution to that. He definitely made mistakes over the last year, though. I thought, you know, going in with the Barstool Sports guys for all of one episode and then sort of dramatically pulling out, you know, was something that caused a lot of strange chaos, if that's the word for it, at his network. He also had a thing where he pulled a guy, you will remember, a play-by-play man named Robert Lee off the air.
Yeah, right.
Because it was right after the Charlottesville thing, which is another thing where it seemed like it was such an effort not to offend anybody that all it did was create this other controversy about whether ESPN was just way too sensitive and not just standing by their own people. So, yeah, he definitely had some missteps over the year, though I think the big questions about ESPN, like I said, are probably bigger than he is.
Now, you talk about the cord cutters, as I understand, and I have a personal stake in this transition. One of the reasons why Disney bought the Fox Sports Regionals was to bolster ESPN and their efforts to get more people to stream with local teams that people care about to try to combat what's been going on. Do you see it that way?
Yeah, absolutely. And now they've just got to kind of pick through all these 150 baseball contracts and hockey contracts and everything else to see if you can kind of make that work. But absolutely, I mean, that's what those stations offer, right? It's tons of sports inventory that people want to watch.
What do you see for the future of ESPN? You think they can get things turned around, or did this latest big buy that kind of guarantee that that's going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, I have faith that they will figure it out. I mean, it's funny because when we think about ESPN, not only are they just this giant colossus in sports, but they are a network that over the years has really figured things out, right? I mean, they figured out cable sports before anybody else did. They figured out that they could have 2, 3, 4 networks and, you know, kind of broaden their reach in that way. They figured out they could have a magazine. They were early on the web, all those things. So I think technologically speaking, they figured things out forever. It was just a bigger problem and a harder problem, and they're doing it in a really uncertain period in American media. So I don't know what's going to happen, but I think probably somebody over there will figure it out eventually.
In terms of leadership, they usually stay in-house and promote someone. Whoever might be getting that job, do you have any idea who it might be, and will they take them in another direction, do you think?
I don't have a good sense because, you know, it's funny, Skipper just signed a 3-year contract extension. So nobody over there, nor Bob Iger at Disney, which of course owns them, was preparing for this kind of transition. I kind of think somebody new is going to have to come in with new ideas about, as you say, bolstering streaming, trying to find new revenue streams and things like that. But I think they'll probably stick mostly to the course that Skipper had begun to outline and begun to go down.
Brian Curtis of The Ringer is our guest here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. A piece here that I think would resonate with the audience, but certainly with the three of us all who've done sports television, is your story today on theringer.com. Doug, it is titled "The Imminent Death and Amazing Life of the Funny Highlight Guy." Mm. As SportsCenter diminishes, a classic figure of modern sports media is becoming obsolete. The quip happy anchor. And you start the story off by citing a young man who went to Syracuse, one of the top journalism schools in the country, and he wanted to become a sports anchor, and then noticed that his peers around him had zero interest, which is funny for me. I went to the University of Missouri Journalism School late 1990s, and that wasn't necessarily my goal, but that's kind of what wound up happening. And then you became surrounded by a bunch of faux comedians doing sports highlights because that was all the rage in the mid and late 1990s with Patrick Olbermann, Eisen, Stuart Scott, Craig Kilborn, whatever. And now you're saying that those days are obsolete, or at least about to be.
Well, yeah, it's funny because, you know, we've talked lots, right, about how highlights just don't have the traction on TV they once did. But I was talking to these college kids. And I said, do you know anybody at Syracuse in the last couple of years who said, I want to be on SportsCenter? That's the job I want. That's the dream job, as the old ESPN reality show had it. And they said, no, everybody in my class either went into sports radio or play-by-play. And it's sort of just like it's not the destination thing anymore. It's not the dream. Nobody, you know, few people are saying, I want to be the next Scott Van Pelt. And no offense to Scott Van Pelt, who does a very nice job on SportsCenter. But it's just the world has changed. And like you guys do, I remember that moment in the 90s where that was a dream job for everybody. That was a dream job for all the print guys who were like, man, I love being a sports writer. But if somebody just pointed at me and said, hey, you can be on SportsCenter, coming up with catchphrases like Craig Kilborn and Stu Scott and all those guys, every one of them would have said yes.
Do you think it's just because people don't even need to see ESPN? Everyone sees the highlights as they happen on their phone. There's no need to have that guy anymore.
Yeah, I think that's certainly the biggest reason. I think another reason is just, you know, remember in the 90s, if you wanted late-night comedy, you know, basically you had the network late-night shows, and you had SportsCenter anchors, and you didn't have really that much else. I also feel there's just a lot of comedy in the world now between The Daily Show, John Oliver, and the political shows and all that stuff. And that, you know, those guys really were some of the funniest people on television for that period of time. I don't think you'd say that now just because we have, I feel, a billion comedy talk shows on at all times.
At the same, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Brian. At the same time, I do watch it. I find Van Pelt, I enjoy his show. It's the only one that I DVR and I was making reference to. I don't know. Are you out in L.A.? Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah, because I know we had you on the podcast as well as the show. And so for me, getting up at 5 Central time, so 3 your time, there's just, from my standpoint anyway, both locally and also in Canada, there's nothing on outside of like the local news, which it's like torturesome. And so I DVR Van Pelt Sports Center because I can't handle the one in the morning. And I find it not necessarily to be funny, although it can be at times. It's just, it's almost like a sports talk radio show. And that one works for me. But when I think back on Patrick, Olbermann, Kilbourn, Eisen, all of them were so talented. Now, maybe it was just a byproduct of the superstardom that this produced, and it could be a chicken or egg argument, but all of them were so talented that they all went on to different ventures, all really outside of the realm of strictly sports television. I suppose you could say Eisen's still under that umbrella, but at least he's doing a radio show as well. And I think of kind of the nondescript, and maybe it's ESPN's intention to have them be nondescript so nobody becomes bigger than the brand and can't command more dollars. I don't know if that's a self-fulfilling prophecy. But none of these people, male, female, doesn't matter, strike me as being great entertainers. Now, maybe they are, and the reins are on them, unlike what was going on in the 1990s and early 2000s. But I don't tune in and go, oh, this guy's got like Neil Everett, like, does weird voices every once in a while when a guy hits a three-pointer. But nobody really, like, strikes me as being that entertaining. So I don't know if it's a chicken and egg discussion.
Right. It's a little hard to imagine Neil Everett hosting The Daily Show.
Right. Yeah, I can't picture that. Like, Kilbourn.
No, I think that's totally true. I think probably it's just not, it's not the farm team to stardom it once was. So you're not getting, you know, those dynamic, crazy talents like Olbermann and Kilbourn and Dan Patrick who are going there. I also think somebody, remember Jack Edwards, now calls Boston Bruins games, who was an anchor back in the 90s? He told me, go back and look at YouTube and watch SportsCenter from the 90s. It's so slow and it's so writerly. You know, those guys are coming on for like 20, 30 seconds on camera.
Yeah.
Nowadays, you watch and... And again, it's just the way television has changed. It's so graphics heavy. There's so much music. It's just flashing around that I don't think it's a writer's medium anymore. I think those guys, you know, even if you were, you know, this great Kilbourn, Olbermann level talent, I don't think you'd have as much chance to show it because you're just kind of a different show. You know, it's just a totally, totally different show. But I agree with you. I think it's fair to say that the spark is not the same with a lot of these guys. It's not in the same way.
That
is probably closest to the old model.
That observation, never thought about it. Now I have an anchor to sports. I guess I did a few in 2009, but my full-time job since 2005. And I used to, like, the writing of the intros was like the best part of it. Because that's where you could be somewhat creative when you're ad-libbing over highlights. Yeah, I mean, there's certain amount of freedom, but we would have two and a half minutes at that time, maybe three. And so there really wasn't a lot of time for creative freedom. So yeah, you're right. When you think about it, those intros, I guess I don't even think about intros now, but that's what you're, I know there wasn't music behind the highlights then.
It wasn't as much, but you'd look back now, and if the anchor were on camera doing an intro, they'd be about to throw it to Darren Woodson or something, right? Other ESPN people. They wouldn't say, in 1943, a man named so-and-so came down the street and said, you know, those are really trippy, right? And really writerly and really strange. And go, like I said, go back and watch. And also, you know, they'd go to these score panels or stat panels, and they'd sit there and talk about them for 20, 30 seconds. Here's the box score. Yeah. We'll all read it together.
The whole recipe is different. Now you throw to a music, like you don't get to talk. They just throw to a music montage and the graphics up for 12 seconds. Yeah, you're right about that.
It's very funny. Just a totally different job.
Is it better today or just different?
I think our tastes have changed. I think if you put the old, you know, Van Pelt actually told me this a couple months ago. I was talking to him, and he said, everybody tells me, oh, we just want scores and highlights like the old days. And he said, no, you don't. because if you wanted that, we'd be giving it to you. You know, he said McDonald's didn't stop making hamburgers, right? Because people still like hamburgers. But ESPN realized that they just, you know, if you're going to attract young viewers, if you're going to attract all these things, you can't just do that old Sports Center anymore. I preferred the old one. I really did. But, you know, and again, it's, I don't know that it's that fair to judge it, because the old one, when I watched it, I had no idea what happened that night in sports. Same with my local newscast. And now, of course, I know everything before I'd ever turn on the television.
Brian Curtis of The Ringer, our guest here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Something that we always would make sure to play. We even did one earlier from his CNBC appearance earlier in this program today. Mike Francesa shutting it down last Friday. What is your impression of Francesa, and will another giant like he will arrive in New York City?
I don't think it'll be on sports radio if it happens. I think it will be, if there's another giant, it'll be in podcasting or something like that. My theory is sort of that sports radio is where the sports newspaper columnist was like 15 years ago, where it's still a dynamic medium, it's still great, but the generation that's there now will be kind of the last ones that truly enjoy the job and the influence the way it is now. You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, remember when somebody left the newspaper 15 years ago and they replaced the columnist, but the guy just didn't have the reach? I mean, it wasn't, again, it's kind of like we're talking about sports. It's not that they were worse. They just didn't have the same column that those old guys did. I sort of think that's the way it's sports radio. You know, there'll be a show on in Francesa's slot with three hosts. Somebody'll have it, but it just won't be, it won't be that job anymore. And I just think that's just, again, the changing times we live in. And no one will quite be like that, I guess, again, not on sports radio specifically.
That's the benefit of doing a poor show like we do, in that no one will say it's not the same or we won't be missed at all.
Brian, let me ask you this, because if somebody texted it in, I personally kind of roll my eyes at this, but maybe you have a different perspective. Ask him if the liberal take by the commentators on SportsCenter is affecting viewership, in your opinion.
If it's a problem, it's problem number 99 on ESPN's list, well below the problem of people don't have cable anymore. I think it's like reminding me of that tweet we saw the other day where it says all this liberal stuff about not kneeling for the anthem is affecting attendance at Cleveland Browns games. Did you see that one?
Yes, I did. That was wonderful. And
you know, the
high level thinking
is
always
0-14. That's maybe the bigger problem.
Yeah. Yeah. The SportsCenter thing, yeah, when you put it in that perspective, that is true. Who would be the biggest star on ESPN's SportsCenter anchors right now? Maybe I'm missing an obvious one outside of Van Pelt. Is there?
You know, you'd look at, I guess, Chris Fowler, maybe. I would be in that. We were just talking
about Fowler's. I'm talking about SportsCenter anchors. Fowler's.
Oh, Van Pelt by far.
Yeah, I know, but outside of Van Pelt, that's what I'm trying to.
Michael and Jamel. You know, I mean,
is that
Sports Center, but it's not really Sports Center?
Yeah, they wanted it to not be, and now it's kind of turning into it, it seems. And is that show doing well?
It's not, I don't think anybody is satisfied with that show.
Yeah.
The people at the network or the people who host it. I don't think it's what they want to do. They don't want to do a watered down version of Sports Center. That's not their talent either.
Yeah, that wasn't what got them to that point in their careers.
No.
Yeah, I don't. What do you think of the Snapchat thing they're going to do, like the Snapchat Sports Centers?
It's like 3 or 5 minutes long. I've watched it once in a while.
Oh, I didn't even know it was already out there. All right, so you actually had a chance to see it.
It's one of those moments that makes me truly feel like an old man, because I'm like, this is just not for me.
But is it resonating with the 20-somethings?
That's the plan. I'm not sure that it actually is.
Right.
You know, it just, to me, if you're looking for, you know, quick kind of random highlights of Larry Nance Jr. dunking on Kevin Durant.
Which was a sick dunk.
Which was amazing. You just better scrolling through your Twitter feed and you'll find it and find your friend making a joke about it, and that's probably a more sad.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, I'm just, and I feel like, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but I feel like Katie Nolan truly is a great talent, but to relegate her to doing Snapchat SportsCenter doesn't seem like it's maximizing or optimizing her ability.
Yeah, I think the hardest thing about her is finding what she can do and what she wants to do. And I'm not sure anybody saw, she has a podcast that's starting on ESPN, but which is partly the right idea, but I still want to know what she's going to do on television that you know is going to really work for her.
Right, that's the thing. It's like ESPN. You're going to put her on Snapchat, you're going to put her on a podcast. I just don't feel like that's the proper use, but you know, what do I know?
Part of a larger portfolio, maybe, but not the big thing, certainly.
Recommend the piece on theringer.com today. I think even those who didn't do what we did or do for a living, which is anchor sports, would find it, really, it's a cultural commentary outside of just the fact that the business has shifted. It's Brian's piece on the death of the witty, quip-heavy sports anchor. It's on theringer.com. Brian Curtis, always good to have you on the program, sir. Thanks so much, man.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys, as always.
Thank you. Brian Curtis with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, talking Francesa and talking Sports Center. Yeah, I'm trying to think. Butcher Gross, somebody texted in. I guess that would be... Again, you're doing it kind of by default. You're not going, oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's no one that could match the stature.
And I don't know if that's a self... Because there was a thing, and I don't know. Now, you're welcome, of course, to say the dollar figure. You probably won't. I totally understand. The perception of if you got hired by ESPN that you were making a killing was inaccurate.
No.
Now, of course, there were and probably are, even though the number would be smaller now, people who were making a killing. But just because you got that job, because they had ESPN News and there were people and they kind of used that as a farm system. And my understanding was the compensation was $80,000 to $85,000. And keep in mind, you're living in New England. You're living in Connecticut, most likely. And so the cost of living adjustment makes that around $40,000 in St. Louis. Yeah. So that is, and then you're one of, you know, I don't know if hundreds would be fair, but certainly dozens of people who want that desk job. So that was 10 years ago. And that's why I remember when I was thinking about if I take an opportunity, whether it be in Denver or New York City, that I felt like the path was leading to SportsCenter. And I just didn't have, not that I would have gotten it for sure, I just didn't have a desire to do it. I mean, because I'm just like, I don't really want to ad lib over Doug, even though that Larry Nance Jr. dunk was sick. I really don't have an interest in ad libbing over, like, okay, Kings and Clippers tonight, you know?
No, you got to be a real sports junkie. I mean, you have to be a major sports junkie to know all the players from all the major professional sports. I mean, you can't blow it. The people that are watching you are hardcore sports guys. They'll know if you don't know your stuff, too.
You have a shot sheet, and you have producers. When I went, it was a long time ago, and that was about the range, I think, that they were going to pay. And it was not for ESPN News. It was for the late night sports center that they were looking for.
That's what you would have been doing?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was on ESPN, but it was like one of the late night ones. It wasn't like one of the top tier things. But Doug, you would be fine doing that. Yeah, I mean, you have to know sports, you have to live it, you have to really like it, which you do.
Yeah,
but I'm telling you don't have to know. I mean, they give you shot sheets.
Well, I'm sure they do, but when the Portland Trailblazers come on and their highlights against the Phoenix Suns, and I gotta act like I really know who these guys are, I couldn't. There was a time in my career when I was into it like that. But now I couldn't really.
Like Drexler and Barkley?
I wouldn't have any interest in working anywhere other than St. Louis, because these are the teams that I'm just passionate
about. I think you'd be very good at it. And if there was an NBA team in St. Louis and you were doing NBA highlights, you'd be able to talk Portland Trailblazers. You would.
Mm-hmm. I think they went to bed on the Snapchat thing. Just for me personally, as I've used Snapchat vaguely, but for me, most people who use it are females. As far as males use it, and I hate this stereotype, males use it for potential nudes or for flirting or something like that.
Potential
guys
nudes?
Guys my age.
Did and you it's say true. Potential nudes?
Potential nudes, and it's 100% accurate, as terrible as that may sound. For me, as a guy, I would never go to Snapchat for long periods of time and go to the sports center. I think it's a huge miss if they're trying to go for my age group, male.
I think I've said this before regarding when we were, you still are at KMOV, when I was a KMOV, and I remember, I think it was after the 2000 election, or maybe it was the 2004 election, presidential election, where there was all this talk of bloggers, and it was the weirdest thing.
And had to blog.
And then management, not, of course, exclusively at KMOV, I'm talking about TV stations around the United States, then all of a sudden had us, and I would imagine if we wanted to push back, our talent union wanted to push back, it's just a matter of if you want to pick your battles. To start blogging, even though I would imagine in most talent contracts that wasn't included. But nonetheless, I digress. The point being, oh God, people are going to this blogging thing. We got to do it. Well, what's the plan to monetize it? I don't know, but we just got to do it. And that's what I feel like ESPN's like, oh my God, we're losing viewers. We certainly don't have young viewers. Where are they? Well, they use Snapchat. Okay, then we'll do sports on Snapchat. And it's just not going to work. Furthermore, I don't know how the hell you monetize it, but that's not my
department. That's how it happened. I guarantee it. A meeting, they were like, we have to get younger. We have to reach these people. Where are they? Snapchat. Okay, we'll do it on Snapchat.
Yeah, and they're not interested. But the buy they just made of all the Fox area
regions
that televise the live games, that may be what saves them, because that's the one thing that saves them.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that's why those regionals
are killing it.
That's why they did it. $22 billion.
And not a coincidence that they didn't touch FS1.
Yeah.
Right.
And one of the things is they are the streaming and to make people need ESPN the way in St. Louis. I mean, Cardinals, Blues, that's guaranteed ratings. You could have a national contract with, you know, a football conference doesn't mean you're going to get a huge number necessarily.
Juan from PP Corp writing, Snapchat's big issue is they aren't very public with quantifying ROI to shareholders, likely because engagement numbers on all of their Discover content is very low. It's super oversaturated with worthless gossipy content. And that's
and potential nudes.
Potential nudes, indeed. Yeah,
is
but
that
if I
nudes?
Go there.
Potential nudes?
I got nudes. I got nudes. Yeah. But yeah, if I do go to it, and I hardly use it, and like I said, I think I could be arrested for being over 40 and being on it. Doug, the first thing I see today's featured is Cardi B just avoids a malfunction, and that's Cardi B, and it appears her right breast is about to fall out, but it doesn't.
Who is she?
So it's important.
She's a rapper. She used to be a stripper. Doug, she don't gotta dance. She make money moves.
Okay,
Cardi B.
So a former stripper's boob almost fell out, and that's
tough. Number one.
That's the main reason why Snapchat. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't have anything on Snapchat.
Then the next one is from National Geographic. You won't believe what this monkey is doing to this deer. That was on the fan page like six different times yesterday. Then Office Holiday Party. We won't get fired for this, right? Next to that is Mashable, another iPhone breaking glitch. Next to that is an MTV snap. Wait, who made the most money this year? It looks like KDOT made the most money. Sit down. Stay humble.
Now, why are you talking like that?
Because I'm doing some KDOT.
Sit down. Stay humble.
Well, the number one trending topic on Twitter
be humble
is hashtag Tuesday Thoughts. So,
ooh.
I don't know.
Do you have any?
I like potatoes.
Oh, my gosh.
There, I said it.
The dumbing down of America is a real thing. Yeah. We're seeing it all around us.
Well, we're responsible for some of it with this show.
Yeah, Doug, absolutely. next to that, I think this show's sophisticated. Next to that is BuzzFeed, what should your New Year's resolution be? Okay. Then there's from X-Rated Eats, we'll have some of that. And it shows a girl eating a pastry.
Probably some potential nudes on that one.
Then the next one is 20 random facts you didn't know about candy.
Mm. These are all topics that I can't live without.
And this is the problem. These aren't
later.
Even stories. These individuals get paid by Snapchat or whatever advertiser, and so they're forced to give kind. It's like a blog, exactly. Right. You're forced to give content daily, regardless of it's crap or not, and that's what you get on Snapchat.
Who forces
mainly.
You to do it?
I'm just saying, if you're trying to get people like my age, you just want to throw as much content out there as possible, and something will hit.
And what do you get by getting people your age? Getting followers?
Yeah, and that's how we judge people and their value, by how many followers.
Yeah, what's in it for you?
I don't know what the value is with Snapchat. That's new to me. I don't know how you monetize that at all.
And don't call all content, like I'm not forced to do content on Twitter. I do it because I love St. Louis and I love Cardinal fans. Today, happy flipping birthday to Tom Lawless and a picture of him, and a tweet about the Cat Chats. So don't call it crap. That's good stuff right there.
Important.
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 Don't you feel like I've... That's like news you can use. Like when you go in to work today, or let's say you just stop by the local coffee shop, you go, happy birthday, Bat Flipper.
Right. It'll come up a dozen times.
Plowsy, you are very wrong. All of these outlets pay Snapchat to post their content, not the other way around. Douglas,
okay,
one from PP Corp back again.
That's understandable. Then I'm glad. See, I'm not familiar with the Snapchat and how they make money, but that makes more sense. It's way too much. The candy stuff, it's over the top.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't see how people get addicted to that. Mm. I can understand the addiction to Facebook, because that's really good electronic people watching, and you can connect with other a lot of people.
But I mean, isn't that's what Snapchat is?
But it sounds like Snapchat is talking about importance of candy and
well, I mean, that's the that's an element. That's like if you clicked on featured links on Facebook. That's,
yeah, these aren't your friends or what your friends or significant others are doing on Snapchat. Those are just random feeds on the Snapchat stories that you can watch.
Okay.
But Snapchat is way different than Facebook.
Yeah, I would think that it is. That's why I say I can understand that people, everybody has, almost everybody has Facebook. You're kind of expected to have that at the workplace now and in your personal life. And Twitter's gotten to be the news source, the first place you see news nowadays. But I don't necessarily understand why you would get addicted to Snapchat and have to be involved in that a lot. Maybe I'm just missing it.
Probably do you use it a lot?
No, I think I probably have 20 Snapchat that I still have to open. I just don't use it.
Yeah.
I just don't.
Has Instagram story feature replaced Snapchat in some capacity?
I mean, my girlfriend loves Instagram, and I didn't know that was still really popular, but apparently that's coming back into trend now. Snapchat, to me, is kind of on the decline. I liked it originally, but there's too many filters. Now there's too many stories. It's gotten too advanced for me.
Mm. Of course, Doug thinks only Facebook is cool. It's for the old. It's from John in Dogtown. The old.
I mean, that's what it is. Well, you just said Snapchat's dying.
I don't know the figures on it, but to me, I just don't see how they can.
So what's for the news?
The nudes.
No, I know, but if Facebook is for the olds, what's for the news?
Oh, probably
the millennials.
Grindr.
Grindr is for...
No, I'm kidding. Twitter is definitely for the new, for my age group, Twitter is...
Really? I thought it was bigger. Snapchat.
I don't snap, so I don't use as much. For me, Twitter is the first thing I click on almost every morning.
Doug, Juan from PP Corp is back. Maybe Juan should just host the 9 o'clock hour.
I like Juan.
I guess if he'd like to.
I'm a big Juan guy, too. Yeah. Instagram story users surpassed Snapchat story users over the summer, and it probably won't go back. That's Juan, and he's in the PP Corp.
Okay.
What is a story? What is the difference between snapping something at somebody which disappears and you have 10 seconds to do it?
Well, you can send it just to one person, or if you want to make it public to everybody who follows you, then it's a story.
And does it stay there, or they still have 10 seconds?
It stays there for 24 hours.
24 hours, yeah, so you can watch it as many times as you want for that 24-hour period.
This is Mr. Nipples, Doug. He says, Snapchat's super fun. I get to be updated what's in my friend Cameron's grocery cart and cute videos of him doing dumbbell curls.
Yeah, see, we don't need that.
Can't live without it. That's Mr. Nipples. He says he can't live.
See, me and him are right on the same page because I could tell
the sarcasm. Oh, you know Cameron, too?
I could tell the sarcasm. You find so much on Snapchat you don't want to see, and it's just so stupid.
And I don't know what I did, but it's kind of like I did with
added
Facebook.
Everybody.
I didn't. Well, people would, I guess, request me, and then I just, I guess, accepted it. And so now there's a bunch of people who I don't know who they are, and I have their snaps.
And oh, I delete them. I delete,
you can delete
a lot.
Them? But then would that make them feel like I'm slighting them?
Oh, they're blocking.
I don't. But they're not doing anything wrong. I don't look at their stuff.
The only way they would know if you blocked them is if they tried to send you a snap. It would say pending in gray, meaning you two are not friends.
Oh, no.
And that's how you find out that you are not friends.
Well,
but if these people
moment.
Are not snapping you, Tim, delete. That's the easiest way.
Yeah, blocking.
Let's see, I'll click on my friends. You have a lot of friends. Now, did they add me or did I add them, Plowhawk? Holy crap, it looks like you have a lot.
I think when
I
you
know.
Start your Snapchat, you have the option to add all of your contacts in your phone as Snapchat friends. But I'm not for sure half of these people
are
probably not.
Because when I started, I had all these.
Yeah.
And I said,
Robert Wagner, do you have Robert Wagner's name?
Oh, that'd be nice.
No, he's not on my phone. But if he was, he would have been on there. But that doesn't mean they're on Snapchat.
Well, why don't you put them all in there? That'd be an interesting Snapchat.
I don't snap enough. If Lady Beercat snaps at me, I'll snap back. But that's about it.
She's the only. What about Gaga?
She's what?
What about Gaga?
Well, I mean, she's a public, so I can go see her stuff. But I don't have to invite her to be my friend on Snapchat to see her snaps.
Okay.
Tim, I'll send you a snap of my nips. Thanks, Zambo. That'll be fun.
Something now we're back to that potential nudes.
And people telling me that, like, hey, you can follow porn. And this is not a shot at you, Tim, but I just find this odd. Hey, you can follow people that are in porn on Snapchat. I can type in on Pornhub and find her 20-minute video rather than a 2-minute video with her dog or kitty or her putting on makeup. So Snapchat's not intriguing for those nudes because I can type in on Pornhub and go,
yeah,
what it is.
Iggy brought up Abigail Mack last week, and I truly do think that she might be the most beautiful woman in adult right now, like beautiful. Like if we saw her hanging out on the Kirkwood Brewhouse patio, and I'm not sure she's going to be here today, but if she were, oh my God, who is that? She's beautiful. But on Snapchat, all she does is make weird faces at the camera all day long. And I said this to Ariana Marie. She goes, oh, I love Abigail. And I go, yeah, but did you notice her snap? And she goes, oh, yeah. And then she started doing the impression of like the faces she makes on. And I go, yeah, that's what she does all day. So the snaps from the adult film stars, I think I only follow, I don't even know who but I never look at them. But I guess that's become a thing where they actually charge people to follow them on Snapchat. And I don't even know what you get. I have no idea. I guess there must be something going on there. I haven't spent.
Yeah,
any
they
cash
sell
on it.
Their Snapchat names, whether it be on like some of those websites to where you know you pay 99 cents per every 5 minutes, and you get to watch like a Skype session with them. That's when they sell their Snapchat, and they make a killing. Some of the big namers make a good money selling Snapchat names.
Doug. How much they make?
Oh, I probably 15-20 grand a year.
Really?
Yeah, it's just good side work.
Doug got to just start snapping.
I don't think so.
It's gonna be another 20
I don't
grand.
Think that's going to be the case.
Doug, I said NIS, not NIPS. NIS, as in penis. Thank you. Oh, Sambo. hey, Tim, can we be friends on Snapchat so I can show you adorable pictures of my kids and scandalous pictures of my wife? That's from Scott's Wrinkled Ballsack.
Oh.
That's a good follow.
Yeah. He's a good follow.
Well, I'm just saying, if you get that, that's a good follow.
Yeah, don't tease like that. Come on. You want to see the pictures of these kids really bad? No, the second one he mentioned.
Oh. Abigail Mack has a fleshlight, FYI. Thanks, Mr. Nipper.
Don't they all?
Doug?
I don't know. I don't follow that community.
Snapchat almost fell out of trend with me too until I rediscovered an old college acquaintance, and it turns out she loves the nudes. That's from Cooking with Mike Kitchen.
That's my point exactly. That's the only reason
so
why guys my
just, like,
age are on
it. They make public pictures of them naked?
Well, this guy might be just, I mean, this might be a gal that they're trying to reconnect with, you know, and that's a good way on Snapchat. Just kind of see how her body's looking without going on the first date.
Come on, yeah. Lord.
Oh, shallow. I'm not saying this is me personally. This is just I'm just talking for most of my
Have you had people send you these kind of pictures?
When I first got on Snapchat like 5 years ago, that's what you had it for. But I have a lovely girlfriend. I have no reason to look at Larry Nickel every morning saying good morning and good night.
But
so I just don't
before.
Open them. I love Larry. I just don't open them anymore.
Before you were connected with this gal, people actually sent you naked pictures on Snapchat.
Girls, yeah, every now and then. I mean, that's why you have Snapchat. That's
Isn't it one big
like
tease,
single?
Though? I mean, you look at it, and it's gone. You have 10 seconds to look at it, and you can't use
yeah,
it.
But
you can't
do a
screen
grab.
And then it disappears.
But for that, it's kind of seductive, you know? Oh, hey.
What do you? Well, you're the guy on Mr. Skin that gets titillated when there's like 2 seconds of nudity in a movie.
Well, I can pause that. This, I'm looking at it. Oh, my. Gone. I mean, what the hell? That's just a big tease.
Right after the video's done, hold and press in on it, and you can watch it again.
Sweet.
Yeah, but then it disappears.
A little trick of the trade. Well, if you want it round two, you have the option.
Guys, MySpace was my favy. They had the best format for donk shots. Nice upward angles and shadow usage. That's from Doug Vaughn's Illicit East Side Lover.
No, it isn't. I just remember as soon as you joined, you get that one picture of the guy who owned it. That was your friend.
Tom.
Yep.
Elysium Restoration specializes in basements, kitchens, bathrooms, and home additions. Elysium does quality work and has a track record of completing jobs on time and on budget. They work effectively with any budget from basic remodels to your dream project. Plus, they do all this while podcasting like the Dickens. Jason started with an idea in a pickup truck over the past 20 years. He's seen every type of job, and in that time, Elysium has consistently provided excellent work at a fair price. Jason and Ryan take care of their customers by being personally involved in all of Elysium's projects, and you can call them anytime. Get more information at erdstl.com. That's erdstl.com. Elysium Restoration. Trust is one of the things they build well. Think about that. Trust is one of the things they build well.
Okay, it's a nice thing to build. If you're going to build anything, it ought to be trust.
Here's a Barstool take.
No.
What?
Okay, is it Fran?
Aria, that's a gentleman.
No, it's just a dude. I couldn't find his name, so I just named him Barstool Dude. If that's okay.
All right, that's fine.
You want to hear it? Or
if you had a name, we wouldn't know who it was anyway.
It's just a guy.
P. Diddy wants to buy the North Carolina Panthers. Unfortunately, the Boston Patriots and the Louisiana Saints were not for sale, so he's going to swoop in and grab the Panthers. And I, for one, I'm all for it. First order of business.
I will immediately address the Colin Kaepernick situation and put him in the running for next year's starting quarterback.
P. Diddy is going to address the Colin Kaepernick situation and help the racial inequality problem in this world. Not sure where Cam Newton's going to go in this situation. Not sure how you're going to take your franchise quarterback out of the mix, but I don't know. I'm not P. Diddy. I'm not worth $500 million, so I'm not going to judge. Can you imagine the halftime show every single week? I'm talking Super Bowl status for like a week six game. You got Lil' Kim making appearances, Black Rob, The Lox, First Lady of f***ing R&B, Faith Evans in the building. You kidding me? So give me some Ciroc. Let's pop some f***ing Cristal. Let's play some 90s rap. Let's rock some Sean John. Let's win like six games, but be entertained as while we're doing it.
Okay, watch your language.
He's the worst guy ever, I think.
Is this the guy you argue with on Twitter?
No, no, that's Barstool Fred. He is the worst. Okay,
but you just said this guy is the worst.
Yeah, I gotta rephrase.
What about Barstool? The North Carolina Panthers take?
I think he was making fun of P. Diddy. Put a video out on...
He called him... P. Diddy called him the North Carolina Panthers?
He did. He said... The North Carolina Panthers are up for sale, and I'm about to buy them. And then that's why the guy went in on
God.
So, yes.
But, I mean, is that kind of the deal? Because, for example, PFT Commenter and Big Cat, there's talent there. Like, you can tell they're talented. But is, like, this, like, the move, like, oh, I love Barstool. I just want to get in there. And so we just go on and, like, scream and, like, occasionally use profanity. I am 100% for profanity.
He peppered that in there not needing to. He did it because he wanted to act.
But is that
cool.
What goes? Because I mean, they have so many people working there.
That's the problem. When Barstool has the talent level is so. I mean, you have the top tier talent, which I listen to the PFT.
And who are the top tier? PFT
coming to the and Cat. And the Cat, and they got a couple other guys that they have around them. They never tweet out their name, but this guy appears to be a newer guy.
Everybody's saying Plowhawk. That's KFC.
This is
Kentucky Fried Chicken.
I'm not familiar. They didn't tweet out his name, but these are the guys I hate because it's just a fake.
Right? I mean, he's a regular guy. I mean, he's one of their prominent guys.
It didn't tweet. I would imagine if it was one of the prominent, more prominent ones, they would have tweeted out his.
But like,
handle.
Was he mocking like a Skip Bayless, Stephen A. Smith kind of?
I mean, it
show,
looked like it was.
Was it serious? I can't tell.
I couldn't tell if it was satire or not.
I don't know.
To me, he seemed pretty serious, and it just sounded like a, hey, I needed to waste a minute and a half, put a video on Barstool. That's what it felt like to me, not, you know.
Barstool is like TMZ. When TMZ does their TV show, you have 50 people standing around the office, either laughing or jumping in with something. Then they start using individuals on different shows. And for the most part, 99% of them are idiots.
Oh.
And that's what Barstool is doing. They have all these people. Let's all get involved. And a couple of them are good, and the rest of them are just filling up space.
KFC has been with Dave Portnoy the longest, Doug. He's core four.
I go original recipe. Extra crispy is too much. It's just too much. Original recipe, if you peel off the skin and don't eat that, it's really pretty good.
So Seymour just texted me this, and I wasn't aware. It didn't sound like the same voice, but remember the guy we have a drop saying, I know a lot about cuckold porn?
No, I don't really remember.
All right, we're going to play it, okay. And apparently this is the guy, so I wasn't aware. I think it's
it's important we get to this, then.
I got to find it.
All right, that's fine. We believe you.
Two, and we're playing.
And I've watched quite a bit of cuckold porn, my friend.
That sounded like Buck Swole.
And I've watched quite a bit of cuckold porn, my friend.
That's Buck Swole.
Plowboy, KFC has been around longer than Big Cat. That was KFC on the video. He puts out a hot take video every day, gets a million views. Prez, Big Cat, KFC, K Marco, or Core 4.
Okay, I don't know the faces of these guys. I apologize. I didn't say I was, you know, diving headfirst in the Barstool.
I thought it was, because Barstool is so successful, I thought there's no way they put that out and go, yeah, this is good. It has to be satirical. It's like me just figuring out that the Colbert Report was mocking like O'Reilly and going, wow, this guy's no good, but it's a satire. So
if you can't pick out the guy's satire, super successful, well done enough for me.
Right, but so do you know that? Did you know it was a satire? Did you think that
to
it
me
was
it
a real
didn't,
take?
It, did, it, did, it looked like a real legit take by watching the video. I'm saying when you listen to it might be different. When you watch the video, it looks to and appears to be that he's kind of half-assed.
Cat, you want
to
go after him?
But I don't know who KFC. I mean, I know the name on Twitter, it's but it's not chicken. Like this guy it's is in my corner. House every day.
He follows me on the Twitter tweets. I wonder what the hell I
that
did.
That is nice. That's good. That's
who
a good
gives
follow.
A crap. I don't tweet anything of value. It's Wallace's birthday. You said,
yeah, happy birthday.
I'll send that.
It's,
out.
It's nice not bad. It's not bad. There, it comes in a little sleeve. It doesn't get all over you.
What comes in a sleeve?
The corn on the cob. At KFC. Yes.
Who gets corn on the cob?
Potato wedges.
If you get it to go, yeah. Oh, gosh.
They do.
Know.
And their pot pies are good, too.
Oh, sure they are.
You guys want to come over and have some KFC tonight?
I wouldn't mind.
You've never accepted one of my invites. No, KFC would get it done?
Are you got a drive-through window at your crib?
So you don't want to come in, bro. Well,
you miss Norm MacDonald as Colonel Sanders?
I guess I could set it up in the carport across the street.
Yeah, that would be nice. I just come in and grab a bag and exit.
See, I just like the dark meat. And I always get the 10-piece, and then I can eat it for like 3 days.
Do you?
And I always get legs and thighs.
I'm sorry.
Last time I went, I got home. I had 2 legs. I had 8 wings.
Oh, no. You were
little bitty bones.
That wasn't chicken. That was pigeon.
8 wings.
And I'm pretty sure this guy, I mean, the guy did have a hot take who went bashing me, but this video has been up for almost 24 hours and has 1,200 likes. So if you're saying he gets 1 million likes on each video, this one.
He said he got 1 million views.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, it has 200 retweets and 1,200 likes. I imagine that's not in the million view range. But nice try. Mm-hmm. It's been 24 hours and it has about the same number of views as what we did for the couch videos.
Well,
so.
Sure.
I'm sorry for this guy.
Couch videos didn't go over well.
Remember the couch videos? You know, I had a 2-day run, but I'm just saying we got the similar views in a 24-hour span.
Flawboy, stop getting so worked up. That's from Painter Guy. The KFC radio podcast is must listen to, almost as good as Big Cat and PFT, and pardon my take.
Then he must be satirical, then. If this guy's legit, he wouldn't have a hot take like that if it wasn't fake.
I love how Iggy calls people's arms wings. Thanks, Neil Allen.
That's text of the day.
Yeah, text of the day. I guess we'll do it. One car pass or the magic of lights at Gateway Motorsports Park. It's a $20 value. Text of the day. If you have followed Barstool for a while, you would know that KFC is one of the original guys, and he is constantly pissed at the world in a satirical way. It's from the Ballboy Bandit.
Okay. I mean, I never. When did I say
you
that?
Didn't.
I said I'm like.
Don't pay attention
PFC
to these texters.
A couple guys that didn't say I was a Barstool. I wasn't a Stewie. I never said I was.
This guy's saying.
All I said. I
look
don't
at
know
it all the time. I know.
I am sorry for this guy. I don't know what KFC looks like, and I wasn't for sure if he was real or not. But I never said I was a Stewie.
You never did.
So sorry. Although I don't know what I'm apologizing for. I didn't know.
This guy thinks it's a badge of honor that he sits there on this Barstool website all day. You don't know as much about it as I do.
So he's essentially doing FS1 Doug. That's the move.
Is he making $5 million a year too?
Probably not.
Because I'd be interested in that gig if it paid $5 million a year. Do 1 year, shut her down.
Last our texters, they seem to know a lot about him.
Yeah, I know. I should know his salary by now since I listen to him every day.
Right. You're a Stewie.
It's weird.
The original style is one of KFC's biggest sellers. We all know that. Thanks.
Yeah. Because it's better. It's a secret recipe. They never did release the rest of the recipe.
I don't know when the last time Leather I versus, had KFC Leather. Was. It might be in the 90s. But now that we're talking about it,
yeah. You might have some.
I might have to have. Doug, what I'll do? I'm going to get salt and smoke, and then I'll wash it down with KFC.
On the way home. Yeah, eat the salt and smoke there. On the way home, stop by a fast food place and have maybe a bucket of fried chicken.
Aren't there better fried chicken options?
No.
No?
As
like Kodak's or...
As far as...
Well, that's not fast.
Drive-through places?
No, I know, but you can
you're
get
talking
it
restaurants,
go.
But...
It just seems the quality of chicken is better if you go to one of those other places.
There's a lot of places that are just so... That's you hear all the time, oh, they're the best, and it's really not that good. I don't want to call people out or restaurants out, but you always
I've
hear the same...
I've had Kodak's and Friendly's, and that's two of the finest fried chicken places I've ever had. And Friendly's was unbelievable.
Yeah, Friendly's. But again, there's no drive-through window. What we're talking about. We want the food now. We don't want to sit and wait for 20 minutes.
Doug, it's all about Popeyes, ho. Thanks. That's from the 314.
That guy has a point. Popeyes is good.
No, that's... Who wants all those Cajun spices
no,
on your
I don't
chicken?
Want that either. I don't want hot mouth.
I want fried chicken.
Yeah, don't overthink it. It's just chicken.
Buttermilk
right?
Fried chicken.
Thank Doug, you. Gus's fried chicken is good. Thanks. 314.
I haven't eaten there.
What is that, in Maplewood?
I don't know.
I think it is. We passed there like a couple weeks ago.
It's like a Big Bend in Manchester.
Boy, fried chicken is good.
Mm. So I'll have some. Maybe we'll have a bunch of different fried chicken.
Hey,
at
let's
my
have
house
like
tonight.
Five or six.
Yeah, and we'll do a taste test, and we can put it on Snapchat.
Okay, monetize it that way.
We'll Facebook Live it. How about that?
Yeah, you guys want to do that? You can see the Elysium Restoration Design basement.
I'll be doing something else, but it sounds intriguing.
Well, Doug's going to come over this time.
We'll save a drumstick for you.
Thank you. I was going to go shopping for a desk lamp.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Where do you go for that? Where do you shop for a
desk lamp? There's lighting stores.
Okay.
Go to Walmart. They're cheap.
I wasn't really looking for a desk lamp.
That was a
silly
me.
Jeff Garland used to slam double. Doug. Jeff Garland used to slam down two double doubles from In-N-Out on his way home before dinner. Thanks. It's from the 217.
Before dinner. Well, who's Jeff Garland? Should I know who that is?
He plays Larry David's agent on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Hilarious. Okay. And he had the foul-mouthed wife,
Susie Essman.
She used to always give him the business.
That's right.
With foul.
Have you
watched
the new season?
No.
Oh, you got to do that. You can watch it on your phone, too, when you start traveling around.
I hear they're coming back with another season.
Yeah, they just announced that last week.
You don't have to wait 8 years for another season.
I would personally like to feed the dais at the next live event all of the different little chickies and then gently dab your chins with nappies. That's from Billy Baldnobber.
No, I don't know him. I don't know him, but I would like some fried chicken.
Doug, Lee's is the best fried chicken thing through and four.
I've been to Lee's many times downtown. And the last time I went, I had the same thing that Iggy found, the drumsticks, and that it was like, this wasn't a chicken. This must have been like a sparrow or robin. These parts are too small.
Didn't you do a spot for them?
Let the chicken grow more than a week, maybe, before you kill it.
Didn't you do a spot for them? Take it from me, take out from Lee? That was you.
No, but I used to go there a lot. Yeah, not so much
anymore.
You
got sparrow wings.
Yeah.
Are there still churches around?
I think so.
Back in my 20s, there was a bar in Brentwood we used to go to, and this guy worked at churches, and he'd bring in all the leftovers every night to the bar.
Oh, nice.
Like boxes of like 30 and 40 chickens.
Oh, sweet action.
Doug, it's time for the Hot Shots email today.
Okay.
So we're going to do this thing tonight? Everybody's coming over to have fried chicken?
I've got to get that desk lamp situation.
It's like a fried chicken bake-off.
Right.
We'll have a
taste test. Sweet, Iggy's in. I don't know, can I feed Jameson fried chicken yet?
Probably not.
I'd have to cut it up,
well,
I guess.
He doesn't have peaches.
Iggy will bring some strained peaches.
Doug, not sure why we are being so hostile. We both are third on the depth chart in our respected fields. I just happen to get some airtime nationally and not on the Sunday night snooze shift on KMOV. Oh, Doug, jump to Brentwood. Maybe I can change your opinion, big boy. Blues backup goalie, Daddy Padre.
I'm sure one look at this Huff and Puff League on a Tuesday night at Brentwood. Yep, all of you look like you're NHL ready.
Model Wars, Attack of the Moans. She had legs all the way up to heaven, and I was about to find out what she was made of. We'd played the teasing game for an hour. You guys know the one, where you lick strawberry-flavored lotion off each other's bodies while skidding close to, but never touching the naughty parts to see who finishes first. Then she called an audible. It's obvious we cannot settle this with our knowledge of the lesbian force, so let's settle this with lightsabers. And by sabers, she meant strappies. After a while, crocodiles. Bikini model Brittany.
Awful. Bikini model Brittany.
Guys, Plops here. If you stop and take a moment to really look around this time of year, everything around us can be tied to the glorious miracle of Christmas. Prime example, I recently back-nined this twink with the most neatly trimmed undercarriage you'd ever seen.
Don't say back-nine.
You could say this feathered landing strip to Tate Bridge combo was immaculate. It looked like a question mark and begged the question, is this heaven? Boom. Immaculate conception. See what I mean? Totes obvi. Merry Christmas, Misty Plops.
Poor email. Misty Plops.
Hello.
Assistant Program Director.
I like the Cardinals' chances this year if they can shore up their bullpen and provide another big bat in the middle of the order. Curious as to what you think. I also think Camo V looks fantastic no matter the medium. Love the show. Scott Goldfarb and Rabbi Kaplinski.
Nice. Scott Goldfarb and Rabbi Kaplinski.
Howdy. Ever wonder why you never hear from the East Side Jackalope anymore? It's because he's dead. He loved the show so much, however, that his ghost still haunts the Kirkwood Studios. You'll see him sometimes in colonial garb. Not because he's from the Revolutionary War times. He just dresses like that to freak people out. The Jackalope told Whoopi Goldberg he's bummed because he knew the text inbox was down, So he tacked his own list of top five countries on the studio window. Number 5, Lark Voorhees. Number 4, David Schwimmer. Number 3, Kevin Sorbo. Number 2, Paul Reiser and Israel. And number 1, the United States of America. The problem is when he left the spirit world, he grabbed the wrong post-it note, taped it to his musket. It was a reminder to himself. Don't forget, pick up powdered wig from Maury's today. Doug, that's from Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech.
Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech.
Hey, boys, it's not too late to get in on the butt coin phenomenon. The late post by Iggy on the fan pin yesterday where he tried to pass off one of his victims as a pot of chili drove the butt coin value to a record high. Doug celebrated by running a BOGO special. Is that how you say it, Doug?
I don't know what he's trying to say.
On the Dutch Wives of TMA sex doll collection, 500 butt coins get you 2 refurbished dolls for the price of 1. Choices include the androgynous Plowsy, who's as smooth as a Ken doll in all the right places, or the Princess Doug edition, whose soft regions can accommodate sizes from varying... Nope.
No, probably shouldn't have read it.
Well, Dougie V was flying around the ice, saucy mitts and wrists of gold. No one on that Tuesday night in Brentwood could tell he was oh so old. He had a breakaway after splitting the D, a twine-tingling triple deke, thought he. Daddy Padre had other thoughts as he stacked the pillows like Iggy stacked the bodies, spit out that wooden nickel. And he defeated Doug's hammer and sickle. Dougie V left his hads hanging in sorrow, forced to return to lady journalism and surely to be assaulted on the text line tomorrow. Doug, that's the River to Pair yacht captain.
River to Pair yacht captain.
And finally, hey guys, I have a confession. I do not have a vasectomy. I've told you so many times that I've had the procedure done, but I lied. For that, I'm sorry. I figured it didn't matter since we were both gentleman lovers, and contrary to popular belief, a guy cannot get pregnant from another guy during the winter months. A lot of people don't know that, but I do. I'm smart, not like people say, not dumb. I also want to apologize to my cousin Pete for the outburst that I had at Joann Fabrics last night while shopping for crotchless panty materials for Aunt Mart. Mm-hmm. I feel the outburst was not reflective of my character. I hope you can look past this and we can continue the Christmas tradition. Thanks to Joann Fabrics for the deal on yarn, too. They make stocking stuffers affordable. Also, subscribe to the Cat Chat podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher. The latest one features Randall Gritchick and topics such as ghosts and Bigfoots are discussed. Mazel, Mr. Nipples, UFO specialist. That's what we have now, John T. Miller, but you got a little
Mr. Nipples, UFO specialist. I like Bill Pullman. I like the River to Pair yacht captain. But I just think Daddy Padre stated his case, so I'm going Daddy Padre again.
Poorly. I'm going to go with a nice, good sports email from Scott Goldfarb and Rabbi Kablinski.
Congratulations to Daddy Padre.
Goaltender.
Big December for him because he's got all the hot shots email today. Congratulations to Daddy Padre. Time for us to shut it down. Frank's up next. He does a real show. It's called the Hollywood Casino Press Box. For the Plowhawk, for Iggy, for the Sea Monster, for my brother Kevin, for Douglas Elvin Vaughn, and for Jimmy the Cat Hayes, I'm Tim McKernan. This has been the Ryan Kelly Morning After on 590 The Fan KFNS.